有些人都随便比较
比较比较比
较比较比较比较比较比较比较比较比较比较比较比较比较比较比较比较比较比one or two letters that the one is that the opportunity was given for humanity to restore itself to the level of spirituality, intellectuality and morality thatthe human being had with Odomarishan at the time of Odomarishan. That is the level that Odomarishan had. When he sinned, he fell from that level. Hashem gave a period of 20, the time of 20 generations that man would be able to recapture that level. During that time, Hashem explained to us that there were four people who taught and tried to get back to that level. That was Hanoch, Methuselah, Shem, and Aver. They didn't succeed as far as they themselves were concerned, nor did they succeed in their descendants. Hanoch got very far. You will remember that he had reached that stage where there wasn't death to bring about. There wasn't a separation of body and soul which we found in death. Hanoch departed this life together with his body. That means that there was a spiritualization of the body. With the others, the Sichel, it evidently didn't happen, but they were unable to reach that height. Yes?
I don't recall hearing about those two people before.
Which two?
The
first?
The last two, yes, I heard about.
Hanoch and the two were Shem and
Aver.
Yes, but we were Hanoch and Methuselah. It's on page 134, if you see, about the third paragraph, the period during which this was possible. Have you got that? Gemma?
Yes.
Are you on page 135?
Yes.
The period,
yes,
the period during which this was possible, that is to return to the heights of Odomarishan, extended from the time of Adam until the separation, the generation of separation, when the Tower of Babel was built. Right? During this period, there never ceased to be some righteous people who preached the truth to the multitudes, warning them to correct themselves. These included such individuals as Hanoch, Methuselah, Shem and Aver. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
So those were the people. Hanoch reached a very high stage. He reached the stage where that was what was what Odomarishan would have been before the sin. And that is the transition from this world to Olam Haba would have been not through death, not through separation of body, of soul from body, but through the spiritualization of the body. Now, the time period that was given for that was 20 generations. That was until the Tower of Babel. At that stage, the 20 generations were up. And now, whatever a person achieved, or whatever a group of people achieved, then that is where it remained. That was its standard. That was the level to which it had risen. And it is going to remain like that. Yes, Linda?
Well, 2 weeks ago, I wasn't here for the show, but I heard this in.
Yes.
You mentioned the tree, the roots.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm right, the roots, correct? And then you spoke of the trunk, and then the branch, yes. The boughs, etc. Did the roots at the time of Adam, he was the roots. Then beyond that, was it after the Tower of Babel that the rest of the tree, the rest of...
No, that it wasn't quite that yet.
You had... Because of the 20th generation, was that a gap?
Which you had Adam and Eve.
Correct.
When he fell from his habit, it was then that I should have said, right, now the roots are going to be formed. Not really, you see.
Okay.
So now the roots are going to be formed. That is, I shall be giving a time limit. They call it in California a deadline. So you've got a deadline how long a person, these people, the world has got, humanity has got to come back to that stage. Now, everything that requires implementation and effort, there must be set a time limit. So, that is the way I've noticed you work, which is very good. I shouldn't work also like that with due respect. So the way it works with us human beings, I should have given our lifetime. Even long a person's lived, that is the time in which you are given to reach as much of human perfection as is possible. After that, after death has come. Now then you are what you are. Then on the end of my board, you are, you remain what you are. You can do it, but you can only do it on what you have. You don't get any new material. Now what happens was, after the flood, after the fall of Adam and Eve, there were 20 generations that were given to that. Now during that 20 generations, now let me first explain it, giving you a little more superficially. During those 20 generations, that for the duration of that, time was given to the people to come back to the state of automation. If they didn't, then whatever they had reached when their time limit was up, that was what they were to be. You follow?
Yes.
Now, the number of, it wasn't only the people. There were several people who fell into one group. They might belong to the same family. They worked together, they fell into the same group. Each of these groups, and they were 70 in number, had differences in character and in characteristics. That was the roots now. And what followed was the branches and the leaves and all that. You follow?
Yes, sir.
Now, I have oversimplified it a little bit. But at least it gives us clearly what it was. So it's easy to understand. You've got the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so that is what it remained. It couldn't be improved on. You know, it's sort of, I would say, if two black people marry and they wanted to have white children, the chances don't exist. And if they come and they discuss it with me and say, now what can you do to have a job as white children? I say, please don't try. Because they say, isn't there a remote chance? 1 in 100. No, 1 in a million. I say, look, not 1 in a billion. Not 1 in a trillion. It just won't work, you see. Now, in California, I'm not allowed to put it like that. In California, I've got to say, if two white people want to have a black child, what can they do to have a black child? And they come to you and say, we want a black child. Black is wonderful. Black is the best. Nothing like black. Now what can we do? Can't do anything. That's how you are already. Now that's a very concrete example. So that is what they were. Now still, what I say is still with some reservation, as we shall see. But of course the interesting thing is that what the tender does, it works out immediately, and it says, these are the 70 generations. Gomer, Morgoth, Mordai, Jorvon, Tubal, Meshech, Siroth, Ashkenaz, Rifat, Tel Karmo, Elisho, Tarshis. It goes right on, and it goes right through the 70. The people, we've got all the 70 people. So those were the, and they started the 70 nations. As I explained to you last week, Jews is not among them, Jews are not among them. What happened to Jews who shall now speak? But that is the way it works. Now that is, I've simplified it a lot, just one moment, I've simplified it a lot, of course. At the end, when the time was up, Jim, you've been back to us, is this the third time you're back? Ooh, you went away, right? The first time. So, are you finding it a little easier now? All right, then just stop me when you get bad, just stop me, you see? Now, so, at the end of the 20 generations, there wasn't a single group nor a single individual that had come back to the stage of Adam Arisha. That means that now they were destined to get good on a lower level. So humanity is on a lower level. Nobody, one exception, Avraham Avinu, and he was 54 years of age at that time, Avraham Avinu was the only one that had reached that stage of coming back to Avraham Avinu. So let us return to Adam Arisha, come back to Adam Arisha. Now, let us stop there for a moment, because Hannah Kellerman wants to ask a question. On that, isn't it?
Yes.
Right, now Hannah, what do you want to ask?
Well, I don't know,
you married to have a children and continue along with one. Why do you come up and not feel? I mean, it seems like you reached a higher stage if you start to feel. Yes, now that's a very good question, and I've got to explain that. Hannah asked a question. If Hanoch reached that high level, then why didn't his children manage to reach that high level? So it's true, he could have died. But if he left children, then his children should have reached that high level and should have gone out. It is a very good question, and I'm going to explain that to you. Ruth, anything, and you still want to ask your question?
Is it
is it connected with what we are doing? Yes. I think you would prefer it if you knew the consequences. So what would you like? You have all the questions. All right, what are the questions?
Does this have any connection to the seven
stages of Sarah? No, please, don't confuse that.
Okay.
Yes, that's a different school altogether.
Mm-hmm.
That, and you see, it's a different school altogether. That, so take it 70 miles from here to across the bridge. Is there any connection? We don't work like that.
What was the question?
The question was, has the 70 nations of Earth got anything to do with 70 faces of the Torah? It's got nothing to do with that at all. Second question?
That was the
second. And the first question?
Yes.
I can't see that. Oh, alright. Now, to come to Hannah Kellerman's question, have you got Hannah Kellerman's question? Now that is a very important question, and I must explain to you how it works. You've got a situation where a person has got tichunus. That means he's got traits of character, he's got characteristics very, very strong. Now those are his tichunus. But they are not so strong that they can be passed on to another generation. In all its strength, it can be passed on to another generation as a recessive spiritual gene, or as a dormant spiritual gene, which is still lower than a recessive spiritual gene. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that you can have. A person can reach great height, and yet he hasn't the power to give it over to his children. That he can't do. all you can do is just have it for yourself, but impregnate them with a recessive spiritual gene, or even something less, and that is a dormant spiritual gene. Got it?
Mm.
So that is one situation that you have. Another situation that you have is that a father can transmit it, but everyone has got the feeling, everybody has got predetermination of will. He can destroy it, he can lose it. Got it?
Remember the next generation can destroy it.
It can destroy it himself, can lose it.
Mm-hmm.
It is possible that Ace of Habits. But he chose to go another way. You follow? When we come to that, I'll explain to you more in detail that when you get two characters like Hitchcock, like Yaakov and Esau, these two characters are totally different in their abilities. Although their general makeup, their spiritual makeup is very similar, they come from Hitchcock, who comes from Avraham. Nevertheless, it was easier for Yaakov to actualize his great potential than it was for Esau to actualize his great potential, because Yaakov was built to be the spiritual fountainhead of the Am Yisrael. Esau was meant more to be the physical fountainhead of the Am Yisrael. So it was easier for Yaakov to do it than for Esau. If Esau would have been able to do it, he would have probably been greater than Yaakov. But that it didn't work that way. But it doesn't matter. It's all in the plan of the creation. In such a provision is made for all these possibilities. Since man has got predetermination of will, then the possibilities are all there. Does that answer your question, Father? Got the idea. Now, after these 20 generations, Betty, are you at home with me?
Yes.
Because you also missed a couple of shiurim, didn't you?
No.
You didn't miss any shiurim?
No.
Oh, very glad.
No, I'm sorry.
Are we pardon? That's a long time. All right. Then you've got to hear your story. Now, after the 20 generations, then it was closed. And now you've got Avraham Avinu, and this is the Jewish people. So the Jewish people now are on a completely different level than the rest of humanity. I hope that this evening I still have the opportunity of explaining that a little more broadly and a little more deeply. You want to ask anything, Jimmy? I'll explain that a little bit better. Now, that is the position which we have reached now. However, let us go back to the nations of the world. What Hashem did also, first of all, that a Goy has got the opportunity to become an adjunct of the Am Yisrael, more than an adjunct, to become part of the Am Yisrael should he wish to do so. That opportunity is given to a Goy. And then that is why a Goy is called Ben or Bat Avraham Avinu, son of Avraham or son of him. So that is by their own choice, by their own volition, by their own motivation, by their own determination, and by the way they live. So if a girl wants to become a Jew sincerely, wholeheartedly, without any reservations, once there are reservations it's no good, without any reservations, then that goy, and he becomes a Jew, then that goy becomes a full-fledged Jew. and I had a patient, those who were present at the shiur on Sunday morning, I had occasion to explain that when I spoke about the difference of a goy and an eved in Jewish law and law, L-O-R-E, and in Jewish life. And then in Parshas Lech Lecho, when Hashem says, the Nivlecho, the whole Kodesh, all the nations of the world will be blessed through you, Avraham. That means that they can join and become Jews, and once they join and become Jews, then they are the same as a Jew. And they can reach the same heights as a Jew. And therefore we find that we've got Galilee, who when it comes to the study of the Torah, do extremely well. Do extremely well. And they get very, very far. And amongst our commands, we've got Galilee. Israel was a Galilee, and his descendants sat in the Sanhedrin, in the great Sanhedrin in Jerusalem. His descendants sat. That is perfectly in order. So that is an opportunity that was given to the Goy. Now, Hashem did it. That's a chesed that Hashem did with the Goy. Yes?
I was wondering about how it works when a person goes through a conversion. When they convert, is their soul then become a Jewish soul?
It becomes part of the Jewish, what word did I use? I used it once before. I used not the body of Israel, but I used another word. I don't remember, it's just a very simple word. But they become part of the body corporate of Israel.
Is there a
latching down? But it latches on in a way that it is exactly the same. Afterwards we are going to find the situation where a goy doesn't become a Jew, but he latches on, and then he latches on. He doesn't become part of it, but he latches on. He's also a very big thing. That we get later. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, together.
But also on the same line, when a clear of a nation, and you're supposed to go roll back, there is just the back of this original 600,000 over there. What if those? I mean, do they have a connection then?
Who are they?
The
Gaelic. The Gaelic Jew, yes. You can get a situation where a Gaelic goes and a Jew doesn't. Very easy it can happen.
There's no problem that he wasn't originally there.
No. That he gets, that is a separate discussion. How he gets that neshama, that's a separate discussion, which may still come up later on, but he doesn't, I can't deal with it at the moment. Yes.
I've heard recently by some that a gerer, before becoming a gerer, one was a Jewish neshama and a Jewish spirit body, and I always wondered if that was so, if there were any insights as to why Hashem was
Jewish. There is no reason to believe that. Mm-hmm. We don't say anything like that. That we don't know. All right? Now, that is so. Now, another chesed that Hashem did with the goy was, after the 20 generations were up, then that was out now. Got no choice. Now, he gave one more possibility. When Hashem gave the Torah to the Bnei Yisrael, he offered it once again to the goy. Once again, do you want to come into the framework of Torah? And the goyim said no. They said, first of all, what is written in it? Now, once they say what is written in it, they will really disqualify themselves. But Hashem was very good to them. sold them at the Zidane, that he fished out from the table those things that he knew they wouldn't like. And said, "This is written in the Torah." They said, "No, we can't accept that." Now, let me try and give you an example. You might wonder, why should they say we can't accept it? Let me give you an example. Sometimes I give you extreme examples, but this time I won't give you an extreme example. There is a din of sexual morality. Now, we'll have to deal with it again later this evening, but for the time being, imagine that Hashem comes down in this place here where he's never been and not likely to be, comes down, calls a meeting of the citizens and says to them, "You know, if you accept that homosexuality is an abomination and absolutely prohibited, and you are now going to desist from it completely, you know, you can become Jews." What do you think the answer would be?
Half of days already too.
Not a chance. Not a chance, you see. Not a chance. Now that is what he said to them. He said, "Oh, it says most enough as sexual morality. Are you prepared to accept that?" So what's the good of life in that case? We don't want anything like that. Now, I had occasion to spend some time with Mr. Locke in New York with a gentleman who had been a very great friend of ours for as long as we can possibly remember, as long as he can remember. And he is one of these people with an outstanding intellect. He can do anything, he can do anything, study anything, and he's always right on top of it. Now, he started off his career as a lawyer. Actually, first of all, a philosopher. Then he became a lawyer, and that is the way he made his living. And he made a very wonderful living, because combined with law, he went into real estate at the same time. And he just bought up land, and then just sold it, so he didn't have to worry about a living anymore, and invested his money very wisely. When he had done that, he decided he really wanted to do something with his life. So he became a doctor, a physician. Went to university, spent 6 years at university, took his MD, and then spent another, and then he had to do his internship, and then he spent another 2 years getting his MRCP. MRCP means a specialist physician. Now, and he didn't want to practice as a medical, as a doctor, so he got a research position at the Rockefeller Institute, and he did research in endocrinology. And then he retired. Now, he had some very, very sharp things to say about lawyers and doctors. Of course he didn't speak about every lawyer and every doctor. Of course there are exceptions. Our doctor, who is a member of our community, certainly doesn't belong into that category. Do you remember what he said about them? He said, "They are the real gun mobbing off today."
The lawyers are the doctors.
Separately, severally, and jointly. Separately and jointly. I hope anybody who has been a doctor here doesn't apply to dentists. Anybody further a doctor here doesn't apply to prison companies. But that is what he said. Now, he's been both. And he understands this very, very well. And that is what he says. See? Now, let us say you come to a group of doctors and you say, now look here, you know, you can become a Jew now, proper Jew. Say, well, we are Jews. There's nothing like this case of Jews, proper Jews. Don't we mean proper Jews? You go to shul every day, you put on your tefillin every day, you keep Shabbos, you keep Yontif, you eat every kosher. You've got that opportunity. But one condition, lo signos. Can't be a gunner. Can't steal. He said, but we don't steal? Said, no. We don't mean that you go put your hands in somebody else's pocket. But the fees you charge, how you run up accounts, you are part of the hospital. An aspirin costs $1 a bottle for 80. You charge $2.50 for one aspirin. That is what you mean by it. You give an aspirin, and one aspirin costs 2 cents, you charge 2.5 cents. 5 cents for two aspirins. But you sold $5 for two aspirins. That is the label. The thing is, if you take more than 1/6 of the market price, that is including the profit, that there's a profit, there's a market, there's a write-up, and that is the right, together with the writer, that is, and you take 1/6 over and above that, that is stealing. Now, doctors and lawyers, person phones you up, and we put the machine on, he speaks to you for 3 minutes, you charge him 20 minutes, a third of an hour. You know that some lawyers work like that. They charge you $180 an hour, that's $60.
It's cheap.
It's cheap, right?
$225.
Hey, pardon? I know it's gone up. Some lawyers, $200. Is that what it is? Is that reasonable? Now, look, we are going to give you a charge. You've got the chance of your lifetime. You're not going to do that. And now you can be accepted. You think they're going to say yes or no?
No.
So, this is how we're making such a wonderful living. Why should we do a thing like that? They're not going to do anything like that. So Hashem gave the goyim one further chance and said to them, now, you're free to come in. They said, first of all, we want to know what's written there. Now, if you got faith in Hashem, would you ask what is written there? If I say to my child, I want you to do something for me, will you do it? If he says, first of all, I've got to know what it is, then what will I say? I say, in that case, leave it alone. Leave it alone. My child will certainly say, of course I'll do it. What is it? I'm only too happy. What is it? He won't say, if I can do it. He said, what is it? He knows that I won't ask him anything that he can't do. He knows that. He knows that I will think a dozen times before I ask him to do anything. He knows that. He's only too happy that he's got the opportunity. They say, Hashem says to him, will you accept the Torah? Just a minute. Not so quick. What's the thing? What have we got to accept? Give them. We can't do a thing like that. The Palestinians, he goes to the Palestinians and says, look here, you're not allowed to kill. And they laugh at you. What do you mean you're not allowed to kill? That's the way we get on in the world. You mean to say we're not allowed to put a bomb in an aeroplane and cause it to blow up? That's unreasonable. You really expect us on that? We can't accept that. That is what the answer was. But they were given one more opportunity. That was rejected. Still, the chesed of Hashem, they are his creatures. Hashem created them. So there is a rachmonis, there is a mercy on everything that Hashem has created. Gave them one whole job. He says, you know, after all, you've got a neshama. You haven't got life of an animal, it's a different kind of life. You've got intellect, you can create, you can think, you can do. You can still have some connection with the world. But you cannot have it without having some connection in the world. So he gave them seven mitzvahs. These are the seven commandments which you must keep. If you keep these seven commandments, you have got some portion in the world to come. Another chance was given to them. Now, you know what the seven commandments are, but in keeping the seven commandments, there is one fundamental condition. And that fundamental condition is that you've got to accept that it's Elohim in HaShemayim, that these are divine laws. They are not human laws. So it's not a question of ethics, it's not a question of humanism, it's not a question of philosophy, it is a question of Torah. This is Torah Min HaShemayim, this is divine. Do you accept it or not? Now, Hashem did that to them because Hashem knew, so to say, that unless they accepted that, they couldn't live human lives. Does that sound very strange to you?
Yes.
We've got the proof. We've got the proof. Look what goes on in the world. Look at the killing that goes on more and more every day. Look at the killing that goes on in a place like Washington, supposed to be the capital of the world. There are more murders there than anywhere else in the world in a day. No day goes past where there are not murders. You speak to those people, ethical, human, everything. No terror, they won't speak to you. You go to this other place, the way they carry on, they say that they're human, no different from anybody else. We are honest, we are truthful. You believe in God? No. You believe in the Torah? No. Can't go on. Sooner or later there is a breakdown somewhere. So Hashem gave them seven mitzvahs. If they keep those seven mitzvahs, right, then they've got something. They've got a portion in the world to come. Now there is a difference, the Jews' portion in the world to come and the Goy's portion in the world to come. First of all, I must tell you, I know this is going to disappoint you, but I can't help it. Not every Jew is going to have Olam Haba. And there are degrees in Olam Haba. So you can have a situation where you can have Jewish friends and you won't meet them again. And yet you can have Gentile acquaintances and they'll be there. But there is a difference between the Olam Haba of a Jew and of a Goy. We explained early on in the Derech Hashem that the body and soul were both necessary. And so, since this world is a preparation for the Olam Haba, the soul, the body, is also necessary. But as we explained, that the body must disintegrate in order for it to achieve its purity, and we spent our whole shiur on that. And then there is the chiyas hamasim, there is the resurrection of the dead, and then the soul now returns to the body and it enters the Olam Habo. Of course, the body is a different body from what it is now. It is a spiritualized body. But still, it is that body in a spiritualized form. And now that person enters Olam Habo. The Goy hasn't got clear summation. So he goes into the Olam Habo only with his neshama and not with his body. Only with his soul and not with his body. And of course the body must be understood, not the body as we have it today. Is that clear? That is the difference. Have you got it, right? I think it's so easy and so clear. Yes, Khanabasya.
And so you see, unfortunately, so many young, curious, and non-Jewish people tracing up their lives to such an extent. So horrible.
Yes.
How does it come out of service these very, very young people are responsible, and accountable for all our actions? So how does it come out of service that these very young people who seem so innocent, they're devoid of all this, and they take up their lives with so young in such a horrible way. How does the channel make it so that these young people can be so responsible and accountable?
There are two answers to that. The first answer, the opportunity is given. They get a chance. And this is very evident today. So nobody can say that there isn't the opportunity to learn Torah. Even in San Jose, there's a shul, there's a bit medrash. You don't want to come, you don't come. You want to come, it's there. How many people avail themselves of it? But the opportunity is there. So you have chosen not to avail yourself of the opportunity. But it is there. It is true that a person who is born into it has got no chance. Then he is judged accordingly. The person who comes to it and grabs it didn't get it from his grandparents, didn't get it from his parents. In fact, his parents were opposed to it all. And he carried through very big Olam Habo. So that is one answer. The opportunity is always given. If should it happen that the person is and there's no opportunity, that is the Tinok Shemishko Beino Akos. Really, there was no opportunity. Tinok Shemishko Beino Akos is an expression we use. A child, shortly after he was born, was snatched away from his parents by marauders. The marauders were Goyim, of course. And they took him and they brought him up. And they baptized him and brought him up. He doesn't remember anything, can't remember his parents, he was too young. He is a but he's Jewish. Jewish mother, Jewish father. And what Jews, great Jews, is a Tinok Shemishko Beino Akos. He's got a different deal altogether. But then he's got to be a Tinok Shemishko Beino Akos, just didn't have a chance. He falls under a separate category altogether. You follow? So those are the two answers to your question. The one, opportunities are given. Should there be a case of a Tinok Shemishko Beino Akos? That's a different category altogether. I shouldn't use that altogether differently. Got the idea? Right, Linda?
Well, you just mentioned that Olam Habo is only after the resurrection.
After the Chiasavation, yes.
Well, the entire nation of Israel. In other words,
for those who qualify, let us say.
Yeah.
Yes.
But at a few years ago we were speaking of somebody who had not completed completed their role, and their soul comes back.
Yes, that's true. That gives you the show. That opportunity.
All right. Now, how does that work with Olam Mabal? Then does that person qualify for Olam Mabal?
Yes, of course.
So he's given two chances.
Yes, but he's not given two chances. He's given the chance to fulfill what he has done.
Correct.
That is a terrible thing. It works, it can work the other way also.
Because he doesn't complete it.
No. He becomes guilty.
In other words, goes the other way.
Goes the other way. And when people become naughty, then it's easier to become very naughty than it is to become good. Once they become naughty, it's bad. Got the idea?
Yes.
Same. And I want to tell you that the soul doesn't want to go back. It regards that as a terrible punishment to have to go back, because it knows of all the dangers. Some people think it would be a wonderful thing to get back, so they don't ever do a certain mitzvah in the hope that they'll be sent back again. Very dangerous. First of all, they won't be sent back if they purposely don't do it, and secondly, the dangers are very great. All right? Okay. Yes, Betty?
What difference does it make in the room about to have a body?
Oh, it makes all the difference. That would probably become clearer as we go, but I'll just give you an idea. It makes all the difference because the soul has the equivalent of the body throughout. The soul has a hand and a foot and eyes and ears and a brain, everything just as the body has. But of course, altogether different. It's an altogether a different level. You follow? Altogether, but it is there. And so to come with a maimed body is also not very pleasant.
A maimed spiritual
body? Well, the body as it is on the Olam Haba, which is the spiritual equivalent of our body. But if it's maimed, the person that uses his hand to hit. Does that answer your question?
Yes, if a person is killed in an automobile accident,
yes,
and for enemies in the process,
no.
No,
people are burnt.
Yeah.
People are burnt, no. Yes?
We read the readings that the people who don't make the meaning of them, that anything happens to them all today?
Yes, the Olam HaNeshamah. Okay. That's the world of the souls. Well, it's a much lower world. The Olam HaNeshamah, that's a much lower world.
Everyone goes to the Olam HaNeshamah.
Well, there are people, just about everyone, I suppose, but there are levels there too, you know. Levels there too. For example, even in affluent America, there are, I understand, a lot of homeless people. But they are American citizens. You know, there are all kinds of American citizens. Some live at homes on the 17-mile drive, and some have got no homes at all. Very big difference. If you really want to understand the Olam Haba, understand this world and you get a very good idea. You just have to raise it to another indice. All right? So, now we are on pages 140 and 141. Now, when v'hinne b'sho'or sh'nechlak l'olam koch som ha'kodesh baruch hu shivim pekidim misug ha'malochi sh'yir yuhayim ha'memunim alo umezo eile u'mashkifim aleihem u'mashkifim al inyineihem v'hu yitboru sh'mer lo yashgich aleihem elo b'ashgoch ha'klolis v'yasar hu yashgich aleihem b'ashgoch ha'protis there is a Kewak Shemosar Leo Odenbor who are there, Padomur Zeh Nehmar, Rakis Chim Yotati Mikol Mishpachos Adomor. So Omnam, Leo Mishnei Zeh Fei Odor Chas Shalom Yedir Sifrotahem, Kei Kol Sofui Begol Lui Lesbona Vizbora Shemel Meolom, אבל לא עניין הוא שאין הוא משפיע הוא משפיע לפרותיהם ודוב הזה תבינהו במה שנבוא אהוד לפונים בשיעת ודשמיים. There is one paragraph with one sentence and I didn't want to divide it up because it might have interfered with your trend of comprehension, but now let me deal with it. Now Hashem when at the time when he divided the world into the 70 nations, what Hashem did was he appointed on each one of these nations a son of and belonging to an angelic category. And this son was one who watched over them and over everything concerning the nation. And Hashem looked after that nation only with a general kashkocha, just a general looking after, but not a particular looking after. Now, I'm going to explain to you what that means now. He doesn't say anything about that. As we shall find afterward, for example, there is a tsar over, not only over every generation, but in nature. There is a tsar over trees. So, it doesn't mean to say that each tree has got ashgocha. That when the timberman comes, is that what you call him, or the lumberman comes and he decides he's going to cut a tree up for his furniture, there is no ashgocha. Now, that tree can't, and this tree can. No ashgocha for the tree. Just a general ashgocha, that is, that there must always be trees. That is the Ashgocha. And I'm making myself clear, with the Am Yisrael, there is on every person there is Ashgocha Protis. There is particular and special Ashgocha for every single Jew. As far as the trees are concerned, it's not like that. Now, as far as the Goyim are concerned, they've got the sun. And the sun watches over the nation as a whole. And this is a power that Hashem gave to the Tsar. Now, the English word Tsar comes from the Hebrew word Tsar. Now, you must understand that the Tsar is nothing concrete. He is purely, it is purely a soul. It is purely, it's not even a soul. It is a power. It is a power that is. Always give you the example. There is a power of gravitation. And that is, if I let this drop, it must fall down. There is a power that brings it down. That's the power of gravitation. But it's a power. So there is a power. It's a power that has been given by Hashem. That the Tsar watches over the whole nation. Only, he says, but that doesn't mean to say that Hashem doesn't know what's happening to them. He knows everything that is happening to them. But what it means is that he himself, so to say, doesn't watch over and influence them. He doesn't influence them. It is the soul that influences them. And so you will find that each nation has got its characteristics. And we have discussed that several times already, that the Englishman is courteous. And the soul sees to it that he is courteous. The German is punctilious. And the soul sees to it that he is punctilious. The Pole is pompous, and the Tsar sees to it that he maintains his pomposity. The Hungarian is elegant, and Hashem sees to it that the Hungarian maintains his elegance. The Russian is warm, and the Hashem sees to it that he remains warm. The Lithuanian is cold and detached. Hashem sees to it that, I'm not saying, the sun sees to it that he remains cold and detached. Now, it's possible that things happen with these people. For example, the pomposity of the pole is meant that he retains something. It can lead to bad things too. It can lead to good things. One of the good things is just to show what is happening to the poles. You know, by all rules, they should have ceased to exist already. And yet they persist. Why do they persist? They've got a certain pomposity about them. They, what do you mean? You know who a pole is. They are the best. They are the top of everything, without being able to substantiate that. Now, that is a pole. It doesn't apply to the Jew, but that is a pole. If you really want to know what a pole is, read the play, the Blotsky, if you, the Blotsky, isn't it? And the Colonel. Jakubowski and the Colonel by Franz Werfel. Franz Werfel was a master. You know, I know that you all read 40 Days of Husserl, so you know how he can depict the situation. And here it's Jakubowski and the Colonel. Jakubowski is the Jew, the Colonel is the Pole. And this is, you get such a beautiful insight into the contrast of the Pole and the Jew. Here you've got the Pole in all his pomposity, deteriorated into pomposity. So, with the Englishman also, his courtesy deteriorates. But that is what he's got. The German has got organization. He loses his organization for warfare, and that's his own account. But the Tsar sees to it that he keeps to his, he has got that ability to organize. That is his strength. Now that is the power of the Tsar. And so there is, Hashem gives it over to the Tsar. The Am Yisrael comes under the direct influence of Hashem's blood. Yes, Tina.
When Tsar doesn't announce
a certain size of the nation, why does the Englishman have to be over here? Well, that is the Tsar created, the Hashem created the Tsar and created him with that power to watch over that particular trait, characteristic, specificity, instinct that particular nature has. And it goes back right to these 70 nations. That is what it has then. So then it is there to preserve it. Esau got his own son. Sal Shalazar, he got his own son. Yes.
Am Yisrael has a different standing and has Hashem watching over each and every individual circumstances, then they have any of the influence when living with these nations.
Who?
These characteristics.
Just say that again, please.
When a Jew is living,
yes,
among the Goyim,
yes,
nations with all these different characteristics,
yes,
how then are they influenced when they have each individual one of them has
a shkocha protest
instead of a
claw. Yes, each one has got a shkocha protest, but each one has got the chiro. Mm-hmm. He's got free determination of will. And we know that if a person's got free determination of will and he chooses a way, he gets help. Hashem helps him along that way. If he chooses to go a bad way, Hashem will help him along the bad way too. It is true that if a German Jew lives in Germany, he becomes also a good organizer, well-organized, punctual, punctilious. Now, you've got to understand that these traits which all the nations have, the Jew has got all these traits. He's got it. He comes to Germany, he doesn't become, if he let us say he is a Torah Jew, he's a Torah Jew and he comes to Germany, he doesn't assimilate with the Germans and become like that. But he becomes like that particular, fastidious, punctilious, he becomes like that for the same reason that the German has become like that. Why has the German become like that? Because of himself. And because of that, the Kuna that was there, so the Jew will get it. You see, it goes further than that. Also, the climate of the country produces that. The climate of the country, the sun sees to it that it's got all these paraphernalia. We've got, this is a bit medrash, so there's a big table. So if a, what do you call these people that organize a home for you, tell you what furniture really is? If interior decorator were to come and say, oh no, you can't live like this. How can you live like this? First of all, this table goes out. That's the first thing. Those chairs there, out they go. Oh, you can't live like this. Is this a dining room? Is this a dining room? Those chairs. That's not, you don't sit in those chairs. Not a person like you. You know it's right for you, it's not right for your wife. Out it goes immediately. Of course. The interior decorator, doesn't know that this is a dismedrash. We haven't got a lounge. We haven't got a parlor. We haven't got a dining room. It's a dismedrash. So a dismedrash, you furniture according to a dismedrash. Not a palace. You've got to live like that. So the star sees to it that the climate is conducive to that sort of thing. Now where we find it expressed is, person goes to Texas, stays there for 10 years and comes back and I can't understand what he's saying. He's got a drawl, he's got a different type of an accent. So he's become like, of course, he becomes like that, not because he's assimilating. The same influences that they are to make the Texan like that, makes him like that also. How long were you in Texas, Christina? How long were you there for? Well, that's all right. Mm-hmm. So you weren't affected by it. But otherwise, one is affected by it, of course. Now, you can tell, excuse me just one moment, Barbara, you can tell. You know, I can tell immediately whether this Jew has assimilated the Goy to the Goyim, and that is why he's like that, or whether he has taken this, he has developed something that deep is in him. Now, I have seen Jews, the great Jews, Reb Dov Meir, Reb Chonon Wasserman, Reb Avrom Yitzchak Bloch, Reb Avrom Grodzinski, just to mention a few, the Ponovitch of all. Then you've already got five. All come to very exactly. They've never lived in Germany. Ponovitcherov had passed through Germany. Reb Avrom Grodzinski had passed through Germany. But the others have never been to Germany. So where did they get it? Those are Torah qualities. They are Torah qualities. They got it from the Torah. That is from where they got it. Now, they can, a Jew can go to Germany, who's not like that, hasn't got these total qualities. Goes to Germany and he becomes like that. Now, is it assimilation, or is it that he's developed a total quality? It's been easier to develop. It's been easier to develop. I've got a very simple case. If this Jew that is now so well organized comes into a house, this is not on its place, and this is not on its place, and that is it. He can't stand it. He can't sit down. It's eating him up. That's not a Jewish characteristic, that's a Goyish characteristic. That he got from the Germans. But if he comes in, doesn't matter to him. Well, that person doesn't. He can take it, it's fine. That's a Jewish character. And it's very easy to tell. The son of America, what a powerful son he is. What does he say? American, you know, you are meant to be affluent. To be affluent, you don't do anything without getting paid for it. and you don't take anything without paying for it. Wonderful economics. Very bad culture. That means there's no chesed. You do a person a favor? Says, how can I ask money for it? No, you do him a favor, but he owes you one. You need him one day, there you come. You get it. You get paid for it. Not a Torah to chum. That means no chesed. And we say, Olam chesed ibonet. World can't exist without chesed. So if a Jew does that, of course he's under this influence, he's been assimilated. Or, true, that is the Tsar does it. Even if he doesn't want to be assimilated. So you get, I had occasion, I was in a home, and this was a Torah home. And in my presence, the father says to the little girl about 12 years old, he's going to bed, he says, now you tell them before you sit down that your charge is $2.50 an hour. But tell them before. Afterwards, when we were alone, I said to him, I said, why must he take money for it? Is it, are they out on business? He said, no. Well, whatever it is, they're going to Shiva Brochus or whatever it is, but she's got to get paid for it. I said to him, so you're training the child without any chesed. Where's the chesed here? Now this is Orthodox people. People who would say, look, we are real Torah people, 100%. And when a person tells me he's 100%, I'm always querulous. I don't believe it. Doesn't know what it is. Now, this is the influence. You're under the influence of the Tsar. So you cannot escape it without being a Torah Jew. Can't escape it otherwise. You can only escape it with a Torah, but you come under that influence. That is as far as we take it today. They tell me it's the 25th today, not the 25th. It is the 25th. You know, I've been working today, the 24th, and then that, I got all with my diary, I couldn't understand it. Somebody who understands the computer, he's trained for it, he puts it in. But you go right in the world today, where there are so many things that you can do. So many cultures, so many things that you can do and go wrong. Haven't got a chance without Torah anymore. The only chance we have. So Shlomo HaMelech, a man by Yechtam Mikol Odom, learns from everybody. Wiser than any man, and that was probably the most successful few years. It was 40 years, the most successful 40 years in the whole history of our people. Thank you, ladies. If there's anything you want to ask, you can still ask. Yes, we're busy.
At the end, the modern yes. Story history. Did that refer just to the Rebbe, or did it refer also to the other world? Yes. Made it most flexible.
The ugly man is, all he said was, this is the way I was created, but that's not the way that Rabbi Ozer understood it.
I meant when he got back to the city,
yes.
And he said he would forgive the Rebbe for the sake of the people,
for the sake
that
of
was flexible. Was
yes, but he was that he was inflexible was not on the Rabbi Ozer said it about himself. He said that he was inflexible. He had been inflexible, and now he said it. He says it to himself about himself.
Oh, okay.
He said, and he went in immediately and he preached that.
I think that's it. So that's what he learned from that.
Yes. Incident. You see, there is another story also about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. They were in a cave for I don't know how many years. In the times of the Romans, they couldn't come out, they would have been killed. And in this cave, they were kept alive miraculously, and they studied all the time. When they came out, they saw people plowing and sowing, and they couldn't understand it. They said, you've got a chance to live in Torah, and this is what you do. And Hashem intervened, and he said, oh no. And they cast their gaze at them and did a lot of damage. They said, oh no, the world is created in such a way. They couldn't take it. Once they had seen this, they just couldn't take that life. You know, two people defected the other day to Russia. They're going to come back if the Russians will let them out. Why do you think they're going to come back? We can't live like this. You've got no freedom at all. You've got no freedom at all. You can't live like that. You know what I told them, that if I run for president, for senator, well, the first bill I'm going to introduce, that before anybody is allowed to vote, he or she must be sent for 1 year to any country outside the United States. But no money sent from the United States. They've got to earn their own living there. And when they want to come back, they've got to find their own money to come back. Mm-hmm. We'll have a wonderful country. Everybody will be so happy and so satisfied. Just can't take it. These people won't be able to take it. All right, Sudana, you want to ask something?
This time around, sacrifice to Hashem the Supreme Chachma and Tuna, which are both more.
Yes.
And your
Christ. The Lokav Lev, yes.
Is that the same thing as Bina or is that us?
No. It's the same Shurish. It's the same Shurish, but it means something else. You see, there are things that belong to the same Shurish, not only philologically, but as I was explaining the other evening to some people who asked me a question, arrogance is a terrible thing. The Rambam says that there must be no arrogance whatsoever. Personally, arrogant is the same as an Oved Avodah Zarah, because he deifies himself, which is even worse. He deifies himself. There's no excuse whatsoever given in the Torah for arrogance. Yet, pride you must have. So somebody asked me the question, I was very pleased with the question, if that is so, why did Hashem create arrogance? Must be such a thing as arrogance. That means he created something that's not good. So I explained to them that if you take a thing like pride, which we must have. That's what our mother says we've got to have. We've got to have pride. By the way, the Rambam says this in two completely different works. A little bit of pride a person must have. If he hasn't got pride, then he doesn't do his work properly. But not arrogant. Nevertheless, pride is something that can grow into arrogance. It comes from pride. Arrogance comes from pride, but one has to know when to stop. For example, you can take water and put it into the fridge. Is that what they call it there?
The refrigerator.
You can put it into the refrigerator and it comes cold. And you put it on the table and it's very pleasant. You don't have to put ice cubes into it. Very pleasant. You want it to be still colder, put it into the freezer. Then it comes out, but it's now it's no longer a liquid, it's a solid. But it's the same thing, but it's a solid. The only thing is I can't drink it. But it's a solid. but it's a liquid that has become solid. It's water that has become ice. It's the same thing. And so you can also have you can have pride that becomes arrogance, but then it's no longer pride, but it comes from arrogance. It's a different thing already, but it comes from arrogance. So that we find very often. You can have Bino is understanding, and it can remain with understanding. This is the reverse, and you don't get the full benefit of it. But if it comes to Tino, it comes from Bino, it comes from understanding, a very deep understanding. Then it can reach Tino. But you can have Bino without Tino, but you can't have Tino without Bino.
So I'm vicarious as well as Shabbos morning cheer about Devorah, the song of Devorah, and how something that the women had Bina, and that was something that they had more than
Bina. Women have got Bina more than men have. You don't want me to give you the other part of the Bina.
No, because that
yeah, Bino, a woman has more Bino than a man. Because a Bino is a natural understanding of a situation. When it comes to a crisis, a woman is particularly good in that, a practical way of dealing with a crisis, as we have lost promise. It's a good way of dealing with it. Women's got that. Women's got that ability.
Because
Tabuna
is more than that.
Tabuna, yes. Tabuna is really. Tabuna you can't get without work. Requires a tremendous amount of work. But the Shlomo HaMelech, as we explained, it works the other way. You see, we get it from, we do our observations, and then we try and get to the causes that we want to understand it. We study Torah, we want to understand the cause of it all. But the Shlomo HaMelech, he got the cause. That was given to him. That is given to him by Hashem. That is the grace that's given to him.
You said that there was another interpretation, and that was that Shlomo received his wisdom from every person. He got his wisdom from every person.
Oh, that is it. One is that he was wiser than every man.
Yes.
The other one, by Yech Kami Kol Odom, he got his wisdom, that wisdom he got from Hashem.
Okay.
But in his ordinary life, he learned from every person, he observed every person.
Oh, so there were both things.
Yes, okay. Oh yes, no, there must be that. That was the wisdom he got from Hashem, that was something quite special.
Okay.
That was something quite special. Yes, Barbara?
I just want to grab that what he read from Yom Rahu.
So?
From Yom Rahu.
Where it is? Chapter, either the end of chapter 9 or the end of chapter 10. It's the end of chapter 9. End of chapter. There's nothing in it, almost the end of chapter 9. Not quite. But this is so telling. These words are so telling. Don't let these people glory with what they have. Only what you glory if you understand Hashem and know it. And you can ask, what do we know about Hashem? Only the Torah. That is what he gave us. Then we can go through the world. And it doesn't matter in what it is. In marital relationships, in how to bring up children, how not to bring up children. If you even reading Dr. Spock is not going to help you, because Dr. Spock has changed his mind already from that, and he's got another view now, how does he think differently? There is just the Torah way of doing things. No, through the Torah. Then the wisdom is wisdom, and the riches is something that is good, and the power is something that is good. Just listen to that. That is the direction that we have. You are the right. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.